Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us. We look forward to our dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter of opinion. It's not a matter of ideological bent or denominational dogma. It's a matter of being right biblically. May I remind you that from Genesis 1:1 through the Revelation text, it's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that we need to depend on. And when we look at the Scripture, and the Scripture is very, very clear, and it talks about if our foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you are, I pray that you are, concerned about the direction of our nation and where we're going. As we watch the 24-hour cycle each day, we're watching the increasing exponential growth and development of the anarchy and the riots and the vandalism, the burning and the destruction of the fundamental foundation of America, and that is our constitutional republic that's under attack today. It's the Black Lives Matter anarchist, Marxist, communist group that has nothing to do with pigmentation of skin, but all to do with the attempt to overthrow the United States of America. And I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, when I see silence from Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and the whole group, AOC and the others, that are saying zip, zero, nada, nothing, not one thing about the anarchy in the streets. And may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, what we're watching is the pattern. It is the plan for the socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party to try to undermine and destroy the re-election of President Donald J. Trump. They are not concerned about the destruction of a nation. They're not concerned about the destruction of our economy. They're not concerned about anything but power, and it's the gaining of power. And that's what they're attempting to do, ladies and gentlemen, with that. And part and parcel of that power play is trying to force our schools to be shut down for the fall, trying to come up with the idea now that somehow, some way, to be wretched and bad and will destroy our kids. We're going to talk about that in our broadcast today. The question is, should our schools reopen? Should our schools reopen? Should we open our schools up in the brick-and-mortar schools? Should we reopen in the state of Florida? Should we reopen the schools across America? What should we do as parents and grandparents? How should we respond? What are the issues at hand? How should we view them? And what should we say in response to it? And ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason I have talked about so much of late, the need for us to see what the Scripture says in relationship to putting the right people in office to lead us in our civic affairs and the civil government that's over us in the United States of America. The Scripture is very, very clear how we should respond to it and what we should do, and that is very clear in the 18th chapter of the book of Exodus, the 21st verse. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. Listen to the qualifications. Able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them over to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Ladies and gentlemen, it is talking about the, as I have called it down through the years, the God's election guide. It is the very, very clear election guide from God. And we'll talk about that further in the broadcast today. We're going to be interviewing a man that's running for District 7 in the school board. That's Matt Schellenberg. We'll interview him shortly after our monologue. And I'm prayerful that you will take advantage of this opportunity to ask Matt some questions. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directed through the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion about the issue of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the truth book. That's called the Bible. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. And then he further elaborates on that, ladies and gentlemen, as I would call it, when he said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to direct our footsteps, should be the guide and the lamp over our pathway, and we need to understand what God's word says. This is the reason I think it is so vital when you look at the scripture again in relationship to God's election guide, where it says, speaking of those that we should place in office, such as fear God. Fear God. That means to reverence God, to respect God, to recognize that God is the one that overshadows. God is the one that gives government the authority. God is the one that's in control and is sovereign overall. And it means that those that we place in office, those that we vote for and cast our ballots for, should be those that fear God, that honor God, reverence God, respect God, and submit and surrender to God in their daily lives. And we'll talk about further we go in the broadcast today about those qualifications that's required. But truth is what is hated today in society. It was George Orwell many years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that so effectively true today in society in which we're living in. You may be in theological, doctrinal, biblical, spiritual, religious circles. You may be in the professional realm or the political realm. Regardless of what realm of life we're in, we're finding, ladies and gentlemen, truth is an elusive word in our vocabulary today. In fact, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, let me read these words from Jan Hus. Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And that ought to be the mantra of every Christian today. That ought to be the mindset of every conservative today. That ought to be the heartbeat of those that are patriotic Americans today, that we want to learn the truth, seek the truth, live the truth, and love the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the further we get in society, the more we're going to find that we are confronted with those that hate the truth and are going to try to abolish, extinguish, eviscerate anything that would be speaking or standing on the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands LaConda and Echo. Tools for Time also has the full hurricane preparedness equipment line of Honda generators. They have a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about landscape, lawn care equipment, and hurricane preparedness backup equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's the home of the gigantic Old Glory American flag flowing 165 feet in the air. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the question today is, should we reopen our schools? Should schools reopen? That telephone number, if you want to have dialogue and discussion on that, is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you noticed the hair on fire, as I call it, reports on your Communist Network News and the MSNBC and the other networks that have nothing to do with news, but all to do with being the ideological bent, the ideological arm of the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party. And that's exactly what they are. They are part of the party. And ladies and gentlemen, if you notice, so as you turn the dial, and I like to roll the dial, get a little glimpse of what's being said about issues on other stations. We have very little that's going out today by way of the media that is considered conservative. Even Fox News is semi-conservative. They've left the base of where they were just a few years ago. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, if you noticed when you turn the television on, the hair on fire reports of the dangers of COVID-19 for children. All of a sudden, it seems as though You can turn to the Communist Network News, and they're talking about if we reopen our schools, we're going to kill our kids by the thousands. We're just simply giving our children a death warrant if we open our schools. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, just a few months ago, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, and Dr. Tedros of the renowned World Health Organization, by the way, Dr. Tedros does not have any medical credentials whatsoever, but he has all the medical answers that you'd want to find. Of course, they're not necessarily true, but we watched and listened to Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and Dr. Tedros all agreed that the China virus, the Wuhan China virus, if you want to be more clear about that, was not dangerous for our children. But now that it's time for the schools to open, now that fall is rapidly becoming upon us, all of a sudden we're told that the world's going to come to an end if we allow our schools to open. We're told somehow, some way, that there's a major, major problem in relationship to the transmission of the Wuhan China virus for our kids. In fact, here's an article that says, major study finds kids very minor players in the COVID transmission. As school districts across the United States announce plans to shut down or restrict our use in the buildings for this fall, one of the world's largest studies on the coronavirus in schools concludes, listen, ladies and gentlemen, there, and I'm quoting from this medical study, there's very little evidence that the virus is transmitted in the schools or with our children, end quote. Further, the article says opening schools, he said, would add little to the reduction of the rate of the coronavirus because children are very minor players in the transmission. In other words, you cannot reproduce the coronavirus among children in the school. And I understand, ladies and gentlemen, there are those that are saying, oh, look at the state of Georgia. They had the schools reopen, and all of a sudden there's a major number of cases. And when they report, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully to me. As they report and talk about coronavirus cases, they're talking about those with either positive response on the test or a false positive. They're not talking about those in the hospital, those that have died, those that are on a respirator, those that have been anything but quarantined, perhaps as self-quarantining. First time somebody says something to me about, well, so-and-so tested positive, they have the virus, my question is, are they under medical care? Are they in the hospital? Has the doctor prescribed a medication? What's being done other than just self-quarantine? Generally, the answer is nothing. But ladies and gentlemen, those numbers are being hyped, and it's simply because as we reopen America, it is what is called a herd immunity that's being allowed to take place that should have been done rather than the shutdown in America 6 months ago. We're watching the herd immunity take place. And as the herd immunity takes place, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding then a quieting and a leveling off rather than it spiking, it's leveling off. And all of the states, state of Florida, state of Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, et cetera, we've noticed them spike once everything started to open back up, and that's leveling off. It is the herd immunity that ought to have been done because, ladies and gentlemen, we've never had in the United States of America in 244 years, we've never had any virus, whether it's the flu or the pneumonia or any other cold or anything else, where we've quarantined people, shut down the economy in order to cause it to cease and desist. It just does not happen. In fact, this article further says, we cannot be at risk. We cannot be in a risk-free society. And this is all about the risk balance factor. Further, the article states, United States, the Center for Disease Control, states that the best available evidence indicates that COVID-19 poses relatively little or no risk to school-age children. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, that's not when. That's dated August the 10th, by the way. And yet we hear very little of that by way of the Communist Network News and the false media that's hyping everything but the truth. But ladies and gentlemen, that we couldn't expect any different, because what we're finding today, if Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci and Dr. Tedros and the CDC and the National Health Institute, if they lied to us before, they're continuing to lie to us today. I'm concerned about it because the major factor is that they're doing all that can be done in these run-up days before the election to try to blame the collapse of the economy and to blame the failure to protect our children with the Wuhan China virus on President Donald J. Trump. That's the intent. But yet, while all of this is taking place with the Communist Network News focusing on the hype about the dangers of our national schools opening up for the fall, the same fake media reporting We'll say nothing about the BLM, the Black Lives Matter anarchist looting, rioting, vandalism, murders in Chicago. Just research and find out what happened in Chicago just over this past weekend. They went to the most wealthy financial district of Chicago, and the Gucci stores and the Nordstrom and all of the other major stores that sell the high-end merchandise, they went in and looted. When questions were asked in relationship to it, they said, well, that's kind of like reparations. In fact, one of the Black Lives Matter looters said, why, they have insurance, so we know that they're going to get repaid for this, and this is just reparations for black people, or for us, as he put it. But ladies and gentlemen, the thugs literally blocked all of the major street there in front of all of those stores, left their cars running with the lights flashing, and while they'd run in and scoop up armloads of goods that didn't belong to them, steal them, jump back in the car. What's that got to do, ladies and gentlemen, with the death of George Floyd? Nothing. It's simply using it for an excuse to go in and carry out their thuggery and their vandalism and their murders. Look at the murder rate across America with all of the cities, ladies and gentlemen, where you find the Black Lives Matter and Antifa that's being given the green light to do as they please. Look at what is taking place there. One of the things that most have not analyzed, and I have, but ladies and gentlemen, all of these cities, the real estate property values have plummeted. In fact, in some of the cities, they've dropped down to about 25% of the true value simply because nobody wants the property. If you cannot open, if you cannot run a business, and you've got to pay taxes on the property, but you cannot bring about an income, why do you want the property? This is the reason in Chicago alone for the past 25 years now, you found so many abandoned villages, abandoned subdivisions, abandoned apartment buildings where they've had to go in and foreclose on them. The city then board them up, and after they're boarded up for years and the vandals and the thugs live there, they go in and bulldoze them down, city block after city block after city block. And ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're headed in America if we continue to allow the destruction of our constitutional republic just to try to destroy the reelection possibility of Donald J. Trump. And ladies and gentlemen, some of the top of the news today that's not being presented on most of the news channels. Carmen Best, Seattle's top cop, chief police, been chief police, been serving as law enforcement there for some 26 to 28 years, as I understand it. She just resigned. Her retirement is expected to take place, this article says, September the 2nd. Carmen Best, Seattle police chief, emailed her resignation notice late Monday, hours after the city council made good on its promise to approve sweeping proposals that would cut about 100 law enforcement officers and slash the department's budget. She says, I wanted you to hear from me. She sent this email to the law enforcement, the police department. But some media have reached this conclusion on their own, she wrote. This was a difficult decision for me, but when it came time, it's time. She thanked Mayor Jenny Durkin for her continuous support and said that Seattle Police Department is truly the best department in the country. And please trust me, she said, when I say that. The vast majority of the people in Seattle support you and appreciate you as police officers. This article states further, Seattle City Council also cut Best, that's Chief Best, roughly $285,000 annual salary, and the pay of the other police officer leaders, although the final cut to Best salary was significantly more modest than those approved last week. The council plans to take officers off a team that removes homeless camps, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, they're asking for a total desecration, destruction, and evisceration of anything that's called law enforcement as they do that. But the point that I want us to understand, we're watching this take place on a national level, and at the same time, with the admixture of opening our schools, there's the hair on fire liberals that's claiming we can't open our schools. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps that's one of the reasons that we find some of the professors now concerned about going online. They're concerned about online education. And the reason is that they are rejecting the this taking place, and they're wanting to stay in the brick-and-mortar schools, do not want to go online because they fear from what some of the parents will find out or what they're teaching. I have an article here that says, teachers fret, conservative parents will hear his radical online indoctrination. A public school teacher in Philadelphia is fretting that conservative parents may be able to listen in on his virtual classes and recognize what he's doing. In fact, he goes on to talk about his brainwashing about gender identity, about sexual identity, and about race and about racism, and his trying to, quote, destabilize the children's or the kids' racism and homophobic transphobia. How much do we want their classmates and their parents to be piling on us because of what we're teaching? So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot to talk about that's coming to the focal point on this thing about reopening our schools. We need to recognize the players and what's happening behind the scenes and the rationale behind the push to keep our schools closed. And I've done the investigation. I've done the research. Don't have all of the answers, but I've got a lot of them, ladies and gentlemen. But across the America today, parents are wanting online education, co-op schools where the parents can put their students together, just as in a Christian education, a homeschooling setting where they can put the co-ops together and teach their kids at home out of the private, out of the public school. Some are wanting private school, Christian school, charter school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and not the brick and mortar buildings. My question is, and we're going to talk with our guest today about that. My question is, why can't we just let the dollars follow the student, let the student's parents make a decision where their child goes to school? Ladies and gentlemen, we still have parents that prefer brick and mortar schools. I understand that. In fact, in the state of Florida, the Secretary of Education has already given the directive that the Florida schools reopen, and I understand that. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a guest today that I want you to listen to carefully because it's going to make the difference on what happens on our school board in Duval County. Ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted today to welcome candidate for District 7 for the school board in Duval County, Matt Schellenberg. Matt Schellenberg has been a guest before on Let's Face the Issues. We're delighted to have him as our special guest today. Matt, thank you for taking time out of your schedule of your candidacy and your waving of the signs and calling and visiting people to get their vote. Thank you for taking time out of that to be with us on Let's Face the Issue today. Welcome to our broadcast.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you very much. You know, you gave a very good synopsis of what's happening in the world today. And I'd love to echo what you're saying about schools opening. I've read, like you do, extensively about this. And the process of what Duval County is doing, partial coming to school for 8th to 12th grade, is lunacy. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But I want to thank you for allowing me to come on your show and talk about the critical issues facing an essential business, which is teaching children, you know, a good education, not propaganda.
Amen. I'm thankful for you being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Schellenberg, I've known Matt for less than 100 years. And if I can say this without embarrassing Matt, I just want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that for me personally, you can do as you feel the Lord leading you. But for me personally, my vote is cast for Matt Schellenberg, District 7, the school board. Why do I do that? Why do I say that? Because during his 8 years on city council, he and I had a good relationship. And I can say this very openly and honestly, Matt, for our listeners to understand, anytime I needed questions, anytime I needed advice, and anything I needed your helping hand from your position as a member of the city council, all I had to do was make a telephone call or an email. And ladies and gentlemen, I never had a telephone call denied or rejected or no return call. Never had a time when an email or text message was ignored. Every time. And I'm saying this, Matt, because I want the people to understand one of the key things, if I may say that with the emphasis on our elected leaders, is that availability of the communication with the citizens that place them in office. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's one of the key factors and one of the things that is the major positive that I can say about Matt Schellenberg. Matt, thank you for that, and thank you for that relationship. And I don't mind telling our folks that had the opportunity and privilege about once a month to have breakfast with you and to have dialogue and discussion about the issues that were affecting the people and that I was concerned about. We had prayer over them. We talked about them. And it was a matter of just having access that we could talk about these issues. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason I'm passionate about putting people in office that the Bible talks about in the 21st verse of the 18th chapter of Exodus, where it talks about those that fear God, those that are able men. Literally, that word able means that having capability and competence in carrying out the task. And I believe that Matt Schellenberg has that ability and competence in doing so. Matt, take a few minutes. Some of the folks that's listening, by the way, we have an audience from Brunswick, Georgia, down to Daytona, and from the beaches to over about Lake City. Literally, the people group about 1.5 million people, so we never know how many is tuned in. There may be those tuned in today that's not heard of you, do not recognize your name. Take a few minutes and give an introduction of who you are, why you're running for the school board, and just a brief introduction of what you're wanting to accomplish when elected.
Well, first of all, Dr. Youngblood, thank you very much. And I think this is one of the things that you just mentioned about elected officials. They get elected and they forget who they're representing, which is the constituents. And they need, we need, and I, well, as you indicated, we need to listen to the people and not be in the bubble of, you know, bureaucracy that's telling you what to do. You need to go out and listen to the people all during, all the time, town hall meetings, small groups, whatever. But I've been a Jacksonville resident since 1962. My parents moved here. I'm one of 11 children, if you can believe it. My parents believed in the Ten Commandments, and they believed that you would treat everybody equally. And I ran for city council where I was running a business. And my business meant that I met people from all over the country moving here for a job. They'd come here to Jacksonville, but they'd move to St. Johns County. Because one of the things you can't fool parents is, where am I going to get the best education, neighborhood schools, things, quality of life? They're moving to St. Johns County. I'm not sure if everything is transparent and honest with this school board about how well they're accomplishing things, but all the parents are doing are they're moving to St. Johns County. We need to develop a winning team on the school board, and that means the school board sets the policy. It's not the administrations that are telling the board what they're doing. The policy comes from the school board. And right now what I see is the Diane Green, a nice person, but she is not communicating with the board. And I got one really big example, and that occurred during the pandemic. And during the pandemic, the board had a meeting about buying masks for the students, teachers, janitorial, et cetera, $350,000. Doesn't sound like much, but the board debated it for an hour and a half. And you know, at the end, Dr. Green said, oh, I'm sorry, we've already bought them, and we just want you to say okay. Well, by the way, did anybody say, Dr. Green, what is wrong with you? You didn't tell us beforehand. We wasted an hour and a half. This is deplorable. Nothing happened. You know why? Because they're not business people that know how to run a business, and the budget of the school board is $1.7 billion. They have $108 million every year for repair and maintenance of buildings. I want to know where it's going, and I know one thing it's not going to. It's not going to the repair and maintenance of buildings, and they're not paying attention to the budget, and everything else will fall in place. And those teachers that don't want to teach, you know what? We'll do what Reagan did. Patco, you don't want to do it? Bye-bye. Because you know what? Dr. Green, and people might be critical of this, but I was on the board of a Bishop Kenny, a parochial school here in town for 24 years. Two things I noticed, I was the chair and the finance chair for almost the complete time. Teachers there got paid less than Duval County. Their benefits weren't as good. But you know what? We had applications all the time because it was a great environment. So when people tell me they need to get more pay, I might agree to that, but you're going to have to demonstrate that you know how to teach and be in there and really care about the teachers going forward. That's what I learned.
In other words, you're saying pay should be commensurate with the ability and the quality of what's being done in the classroom.
Right.
Absolutely.
And you know what? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Doctor.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I think that what we're seeing now when the school board goes, we don't want the teachers 1 to 3 years to teach virtual school. I'm thinking the young teachers know how to do the virtual probably better than anybody else. And the older teachers, not that they're not capable, but why are you excluding the teachers from 1 to 3 on the virtual education? And Dr. Youngblood, do you realize a third of the parents said they'd rather do virtual than send them to brick and mortar? And you know why it is? Because they don't believe that the teachers are doing their job, and they found out that maybe being home is a good idea. And unfortunately, and this is the consequence of this, the virtual is probably, I love to see the demographics, and I don't have it, but the parents probably of middle and upper income, they probably have a spouse that can work from home or have
Matt, hang in there
hours.
Just one moment. We're hanging there okay. Just one moment. We're going to take a top of the hour news break for 1 hour. Don't turn your dial. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with Matt Schellenberg, candidate for District 7 of the school board.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.